whole religion is based on a Messiah and a kingdom. And the guy just told you in this parable that the heir is about to die and be rejected. So then what happens? That's the point. So then what happens? Well, he told us that the stone was going to fall on them, and we don't understand that. How's a stone going to fall on them when the stone's being rejected? And the stone's going to die. Tim, intellectual problem. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son. Now stop, tilt. That's the key to the whole parable. The key to this entire parable is that a king has made a marriage for, look at this, his son. So in other words, what this parable is about the son. The king in this story is determined to honor his son and to heap praise, glory, and honor on the son. The son from the parable before has been rejected and slain outside the city. And so we're wondering, Mark, what happens to the son? We understand he's dead. I guess that's it. But I thought there was going to be a kingdom and a Messiah. How can we have this if the boy's dead? And so everything that we're going to say from here on centers around one thought and one thought only. The king's determination at all costs and despite any and all rejection to honor his son. And in doing so, to allow the people that observe this to be blessed from it. Got me? Got me. See, they have rejected the son in the parable before. But the king is determined to honor him. All right? So, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son. Now, I need to tell you something. See the word marriage? We're talking about a marriage supper. And that's important, and we'll be able to tell that it's not just the marriage ceremony, but a marriage supper is what's being planned. And you can tell that in context. Now, if you knew Greek, you could tell it from the Greek, but you don't need to know Greek. That the Jewish semi-oriental type wedding over there, the wedding is a private affair in the family at the father's house. Only intimate members of the family come. The father and the priest, and only intimate members of the family. The large wedding supper and feast and the dancing and the celebration and the music take place after the wedding, after the marriage. The marriage is a very formal, very solemn occasion. So what we're reading about is going to take place after the actual wedding of the son. So the father, as king, is going to have a celebration to honor his son and obviously the son's bride. All right? He's going to heap honor on him, and that's the whole point of what I'm trying to tell you. So, with that in mind, observe, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Now, do you see the past tense, were? Do you see that? In other words, the idea is, invitations had already been sent out some long time back, and that's the custom, that a people were already invited. They knew that a betrothal had taken place, and a long time had gone by, and the people are now, so that they could mark it on their calendar, Peggy, so that they would keep that place open. There's going to be a wedding, and there's a date for the wedding, and the wedding supper will take place thereafter. We're going to let you know when it's going to be, so that, and you have specially been invited. You've received your written invitation, because this is the king. So I want you to see that in verse 3. It's very important that you see this. That they now the servants are going out to those who already had received an invitation. That it's time to come to the wedding feast, the wedding supper. Okay? But it says they would not come. Now, let's just learn a little bit about hyper-Calvinism right there. I'd like for all of you to just simply notice one thing about the teachings of predestination. Observe, it does not say that they could not come. It says they would not come. People that die lost. It's not that they never heard the gospel. It's not that they couldn't come. It's not that God would not allow them to come, that they were damned from before the foundation of the world, but rather they heard, they understood, and refused. The Bible teaches that we are moral agents with a will that can choose right from wrong, and that God holds us accountable for the choice. That's what the Bible teaches. So I just thought I'd throw that out. They would not come. They were invited, but they would not. And they knew there was a time of the wedding. Now, what we're seeing in this, then, and as we go through the story, what we're seeing in these first verses is the old saying in the Scriptures that many of you know, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. We're seeing the servants coming into the vineyard who are representative of the prophets and the people coming to invite them to come to repent, such as John the Baptist, to repent because the kingdom is at hand. It's time, it's time. And now the king comes in on the donkey and says, "Now, I'm here. Listen to the children. This is it." But the leaders and the majority of the people still refuse to repent. They would not come. Verse 4. Hey, look at the compassion. You're learning about the king. What is God like? If you were king, listen to me. I'm not talking about President Reagan. He ain't got any power at all. Well, Richard Nixon thought he had power, and a bunch of newspapermen got him fired. See, in countries where real kings exist, newspapermen die. Kings don't lose their jobs. You understand what I'm saying? No, we're talking about power. You're a king. You answer to no one. And these people dare refuse your invitation. Let them know well in advance. There should be no excuse. The invitation has been sent out for a long time. The date is unmistakable. And the date was unmistakable. From Daniel chapter 9, every Jew there could have known it was 483 years back from the prophecy that Daniel gave, that a Persian king would issue an edict allowing them to return and build their temple, and that 483 years after that edict, the Messiah would show up. Moreover, when John the Baptist was conceived, people knew, because Zacharias, his father, was struck dumb. And when he spoke at John's birth, everyone knew the story, and he says the story of John's miraculous birth and that he was the forerunner of the Messiah was spread all up and down the hills. Moreover, when Jesus was born, the angel spoke to the shepherds and told them, "There is born unto you this night in the city of David a Savior who is Christ," which means Messiah. Messiah, the Lord, in the city of Bethlehem, in the city of David. Now, and the Scripture says that they told everybody. It says that that message went up and down the Judean hills. So what I'm saying is there is no excuse. The shepherds told everyone that angels told them, and this is just months after everyone had heard that John the Baptist, this baby that had been born, was the forerunner of the Messiah. When Jesus was taken to the temple and dedicated, two prophets of God were there, Annas. These two prophets prophesied that this is the Messiah. So the people had no excuse. He had done the miracles. If they wanted to know the truth, they could know. He sent forth other servants. Wow! You know, God's okay, gang. This is an okay guy. I'm trying to see, some of you think wickedly of God. I'm trying to show you've not really seen what He's like at all. Hey, this is pretty good. He's got a lot more patience than I ever gave Him credit for. Again, He sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them who are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner." See, some of you wondered how I knew. How do you know that's a supper? It says marriage. It said, "I've prepared the dinner." The dinner comes after. See, here in America, we have a wedding supper usually the night before the wedding. But not over in Israel. They have it after the wedding. And that's when all the friends and all the family get together and they have a blast. He says, the dinner is ready. I have prepared my dinner. My ox, my fatlings are killed. All the animals are dead. They're prepared. Now notice they hadn't been cooked yet. They're prepared. They're killed. Come to the marriage. Second chance for them. Notice second chances always take place while you're alive, not after you're dead. Moreover, God doesn't just give two chances. He gives thousands of chances.
Amen.
All through your life. Come to the marriage.